Step 3. Open the books and teach the numbers. Take it beyond just sharing numbers and begin to build trust and mutual respect through transparency and education. If you approached an employee at your company and asked them, "Who creates the financial numbers in the company?" what do you think they'd tell you? In almost every case, they'd tell you the CFO, the accounting department, you know, the numbers guy. In reality, they themselves are creating the numbers. With every decision they make and every action they take, they are creating the financial numbers in the company. Too often in business, we fail to show the players the big picture, the overall score of the game. We tend to try and manage from the sidelines, focusing on individual performance and process results. Meanwhile, the employees, who have their hands on the ball and are most likely to change the score, are left wondering, what's the score? Imagine a vice president who entered his team in a Thursday night bowling league. The VP figured he knew a thing or two about getting the most out of his people. He decided he'd run the team the same way he ran the business. On the night of the first competition, he rigged up his team's alleys with a big black curtain across the end of the lane concealing the pens. Behind the curtain, he set up lights and a camera. Then he positioned himself behind the bowlers where he could watch the pins on a monitor. The first bowler was a little confused by this, but he figured the boss probably knew what he was doing. So he grabbed a ball, took his steps, and let her fly. The ball rolled down the alley and under the curtain. The bowler heard the sound of pins crashing. He turned around, looked up at the VP, and asked, "How'd I do?" The VP peered into his monitor and frowned. "Aim a little more to the left." The bowler rolled his second ball and heard nothing. The VP's frown turned into a scowl. "Too far, you idiot!" he yelled. It went like that all night long. By the end of the evening, the VP's team was more than ready to go. This was too much like work. The first bowler, however, still eager to please, asked one more time how he had done. The VP was shutting off his monitor and gathering up the equipment. "Don't worry about it," he said. "I'll let you know in 6 months, at your performance review." "But wait," the other bowlers chimed in. "How did we all do? What was the team's score? Did we beat the other guys?" The VP glared. "That's really a question for executive management to worry about," he said. "Besides, we won't really know until the end of the season when the scorekeepers tally up the totals." The VP walked away down the hall, lonely with the weight of his responsibility. He muttered under his breath, "What was the score?" Under this scenario, the people who have their hands on the ball and the greatest opportunity to change the score and win the game have no idea where to take aim. In business, we often forget the curtain in front of the pins is the barrier. Remove it and let the players figure out how to change the score and win the game. Although this story clearly explains the benefits of opening the books and showing your people the real score of the game, there is still fear from many business owners about opening it up. It's a real fear, and as a business leader, you need to get comfortable with opening things up. To begin, let's address the elephant in the room: getting comfortable with opening the books. Here are the most common concerns people have about opening their books. Question: what if my people see my numbers and figure out how much I make? Answer: opening your books does not mean sharing every detail. Great game companies rarely, if ever, share salary information. It's divisive, it's distracting, it doesn't help you teach people business. And frankly, they already think you're making more than you are. Question: what if people see how much the company is making and want more? Answer: they already want more. In fact, you want more too. Everyone does, and you want them to. You want your team to be as ambitious, hungry, and wanting more as possible. That's how you'll grow and be sustainable over the long haul. Question: what if the numbers are bad? Won't people run for the hills? Answer: look, most people, given the chance, will ask, "What can I do to help?" Opening the books may be the first time in their lives they're treated like adults. Given the facts, people are much better equipped and far more likely to be able to deal with difficult situations. How to open the books. Bridge the gap between perception and reality. Do your people know how hard it is to make money? Or have you tried to protect them from the harsh truth? Why not bring the marketplace and reality to your people? Open the books. Outback Steakhouse. When Chris Sullivan and three friends decided to open a new restaurant in their hometown of Tampa, Florida in March 1988, they wanted to do things differently. Sullivan wanted to create a business that would give him and his employees the flexibility to enjoy the beaches and golf courses in Tampa. He wanted to experiment with innovative ideas. like opening only for dinner and pruning down the menu to just 15 items or so from the 50 or 60 items a traditional restaurant might offer. He also wanted to offer premier customer service by having servers cater just 8 or 10 customers instead of 20, like they would in most other eating establishments. But Sullivan had been in the industry for a long time. He had worked in enough restaurants to know that they suffer from a catastrophically high failure rate, mostly because their profit margin is so low. It's really hard to make money in the food business. He wondered how he could change that in his restaurant. He tried to answer that question by holding a meeting with all the newly hired employees of the restaurant, which they were calling Outback Steakhouse. Everyone from the managers to the servers and cooks gathered together to talk about the kind of business Sullivan envisioned. He started the conversation with a question to the group. How much money does a typical restaurant make on every dollar of sales? That led to a lively back and forth in which a whole range of numbers were thrown around. 50, 70, 30. Finally, Sullivan revealed the answer. The typical restaurant made just 3 cents for every dollar it brought in. As he said this, a loud laugh came from the back of the room. It was one of the new cooks who said, "Chris, you do all this crap for just 3 cents on the dollar?" Sullivan smiled. He explained that he didn't want to make 3 cents. He wanted to make more, much more. He was convinced that the industry was leaving a lot on the table, but he needed everyone's help to get there. In return, he would open up the real numbers about what the business was making and share the extra profits with the employees. What happened next? Nobody ran away. Nobody quit. Nobody complained. Rather, Sullivan's employees stepped up to help. They changed their behavior when it came to watching waste and expenses. They offered exceptional customer service. They owned it and began to make money. Outback's profit margin topped 20%, which was shared with the employees through a bonus program. Those profits also helped the business grow fast. Eventually, Outback Steakhouse expanded to become a premier restaurant with locations nationwide. Have you been protecting your people from the reality of your business, whether it's good or bad? The truth is, most companies aren't making nearly as much as their employees already think they do. And when people don't have facts, they rely on their imagination or someone else's. Imagine what people assume about you based upon the car you drive or the neighborhood in which you live. It's amazing what kind of stories we're capable of dreaming up about the massive wealth the owners of a business are pulling in. Let's focus on one tried and true method. Teach your people how hard it is to make money. When you do that, you can stop the rumors and change the narrative by opening your books and teaching your people how much money your business really makes. If you don't believe us, try it with your people. Turn it into a game. Maybe with a prize for who comes closest to answering the question, how much money do we make in profit from every dollar of sales we generate? Over the past few years, Walmart has averaged about 2.4 cents on every dollar of sales. SRC, the parent company of the Great Game of Business, makes about 5 cents on the dollar during a really good year of remanufacturing. In fact, research shows that the median bottom line among companies in 212 industries across the U.S. is just 6.5 cents. Holy cow! Why get up in the morning? But how much does the average employee think their company makes? The answer? 36 cents. How about that for a gap between perception and reality? That is a 6 times gap in awareness between what companies really make and what their employees think they make. What kind of decisions are they making under the assumption that you're making 6 times the profit you really are? If open book is scary to you, then closed book should be downright terrifying. The reason this knowledge gap exists is that people are coming to work every day without any information, and so they fill the vacuum with rumors, misinformation, and the most outlandish stories they can think of. The single greatest argument for open book management may be that if you don't inform your people, somebody else will. The good news is that you can stop the rumors and change the narrative by opening your books and teaching your people how much money your business really makes and how hard it truly is to do it. Open the books. The dollar exercise. Now your people know that business is a game of pennies. Get your people together and grab a flip chart. Sketch out a simplified income statement for your business. Begin by writing out your main buckets of revenue. It could be by customer, division, or product line. Next, indicate the cost of goods sold, or COGS. Then explain how revenue minus COGS equals gross profit, and when it's expressed as a percentage, it's gross margin. We love asking the question, So are we done spending money yet? The answer is always no. People know that there are expenses, salaries, rent, marketing, and so on. At the end, we take gross profit minus expenses, and we get net. Net profit, operating income, profit before tax, earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. What do you consider bottom line? Whatever it is, that is what you should teach your people. This is where you start to teach the language of business, the financials. Draw a $1 bill on the left side of the income statement you've just created. This represents $1 of hard-earned revenue. Ask who knows how much we keep, bottom line, out of every dollar. Keep in mind that your people will guess from 0 to 75 cents on the dollar. Let's say your organization makes 10 cents on the bottom line. When you first expose people to the facts, remember the reaction Chris Sullivan got. Why do you get up in the morning? Could be a response you get from your people. Now you have a perfect opportunity to bring the marketplace to your people. Talk about what other companies like yours are doing. Some are losing money. Others may be making more than you. Do your homework. Find out what your competition and industry peers are doing. If you have no idea, go and try to borrow an outrageous sum of money like we did at SRC. Your banker will share what low, mid, and high performers in your industry are doing. If they know the facts and how they stack up against the competition, the average person will respond to your appeal to move the needle, even if only for a few pennies on the dollar. They'll ask, "I had no idea. What can I do to help?" For the sake of argument, let's ask a simple question. Would you like to make more money by the end of the year? We have yet to meet anyone who has answered no. So, if an example critical number of net profit is okay with you, let's proceed. With a critical number of 10% net profit, ask how many dollars we have to sell to get a dollar on the bottom line. Then wait. Perhaps for an uncomfortably long period of time, your people need to do the math. Eventually, they'll calculate that we have to have $10 in revenue just to make a dollar in net profit. Coach's tip. To calculate your own revenue number, take 1 divided by your bottom line profit number. For example, if you make a nickel in profit, take 1 divided by 0.05 equals $20. In other words, you must sell $20 in revenue to make that dollar of net profit. So, it's clear that to make more money, whoever is responsible for sales better get off their butts and sell. We need a ton of revenue around here. Unfortunately, you'll only engage a small percentage of the sales team, and they're constantly being pushed to sell more anyway. So how do you engage everybody else, including cost centers like HR, accounting, marketing, and other departments? Here's where the magic comes in. We're trying to make people not only business literate, but financially literate. We're trying to build a business of business people, right? What a fantastic opportunity to connect and give them a line of sight between what they do each day and the profitability of the business. Next, draw a dollar on the right side of the simple income statement you've created. This represents a dollar in COGS or expenses. If we don't spend this dollar, does it become a dime on the bottom line? Nope. If we didn't spend it, it's still a dollar, and it drops directly to the bottom line. And in this example, that means every dollar we save in COGS or expenses is worth 10 in revenue. Wow! When you tackle this exercise, you've taken your first step toward creating a line of sight for anyone in your organization to see that they can make a dramatic impact. You've introduced them to your financial statements. You've also changed their perceptions about how hard it can be for a business to make money while appealing to them to help make a difference. What a phenomenal way to have people begin taking line item ownership as well. In time, questions will arise about why a line is this much or can we see the detail behind that number. Either way, the more you teach your people, the more they will want to learn. Important note, the great game is not about cutting costs. It is not lean. It is not Six Sigma. The concept is to teach people business. But just for the rest of this year, wouldn't you like to make more money? If so, give it a shot. Cutting costs might be a place to begin. Teach the numbers, formal versus informal training. In many companies, if you mention the words financial literacy, employees immediately get the shakes. Unfortunately, many companies' training programs don't help matters much. The accounting manager lectures employees in often long, information-overloaded classes, as if employees were cramming for a CPA exam. Sound familiar? It doesn't have to be this way. In fact, teaching and learning business and the financials can be interesting and maybe even a little fun. The plant manager of a furniture manufacturer kept urging employees to lower their scrap rates. He deluged them with numbers, cost of materials, production efficiency, and so on, but they just didn't get it. Finally, he called his employees to the loading dock. When they got there, they saw their boss in front of an old couch with a chainsaw in hand. Dumbfounded, they watched their boss fire up the chainsaw and lop off a third of the couch. "That," yelled the boss over the noise of the chainsaw, "is the cost of materials that actually go into our product line." Then he lopped off another third. "And that is our labor cost." Lastly, he shut off the saw and pointed to the remaining third. By now, you could hear a pin drop. "That," he said, "is how much we're wasting in scrap." He pretty well had their attention by that point. If the strategy is to create a business of business people, it follows that employees must learn the language of business, the financials. But nothing can duplicate the informal, practical learning that comes with keeping score and following the real numbers day in and day out. How did you learn the numbers? Many seasoned managers understand their numbers not because they went to business school, but because they use the numbers every day. Employees will learn the basics of business no differently. If they get an opportunity to see and use the numbers regularly, they'll remember them and begin to understand them. That's why you can't separate financial literacy training from the other parts of your management system, such as frequently tracking and communicating the company's real numbers. Be sure to support your formal training with informal practices. In other words, use the game to teach people business. Remember, you're trying to educate people about your business, not create a bunch of CPAs. Making the learning events casual, interactive, and impactful to them. Continue to put things in context for people and then reinforce the lessons in frequent engagements around the real numbers. Ultimately, you want your business literacy efforts to become just another part of your everyday culture. Our recommendation is that you get the basic practices in place first, including the informal financial literacy that happens in the weekly huddles. Then you can build on that foundation with more formalized training. Employees who take the training will come out of the formal classes ready to apply the learning because they've been living with the numbers for a while. When you're ready, establish a formal financial and business literacy training program, but focus on the numbers that matter most to your company, not those that appear in the Accounting 101 textbook. Your people rarely need to know about debits and credits or how to do an adjusting entry. But they may very well need to know exactly how production efficiency is calculated, why receivable days matter, or how the purchase of a new computer system will affect the income statement and the balance sheet. The bottom line is that people remember what they find relevant and useful. The point is that a successful financial literacy program is not a one-off event or something you can do every month. If you want it to stick, it needs to become part of your everyday rhythm and routine, where your people get to learn and apply that new knowledge daily through great game practices like huddles, mini games, and updating the scoreboard. In SRC's early days, the employees themselves created a formal class called the Yo-Yo Company, a financial literacy training program based on a little boy making yo-yos. It was so simple and approachable that everyone learned the financials without intimidation and could then apply what they learned on the job. Nearly 40 years later, we still call it Yo-Yo Company. The financials simply don't change. The purpose of financial literacy training is to give everyone in the company a common language and boost their confidence in understanding the financial numbers. Then, and only then, will they begin to make a connection to the numbers that measure their performance, talk intelligently about improvements, and make better, more informed decisions. That's when the magic happens, and you begin to truly recognize that you've arrived at a business of business people. Bringing it home. But the impact of teaching your people financial literacy doesn't stop at the walls of your business. We've heard time and time again how the ripple effect of teaching people financial literacy at work results in their bringing those skills back home with them. That even includes some business owners. Entrepreneur Jeff Evenson created his own financial literacy program for his three kids. Taking it to the extreme, he used 14,000 real $1 bills to show the kids what they spent every month out of the family income, which included everything from the mortgage, taxes, cable, and electricity bills to the various fees and equipment they spent every month on dance classes, soccer, and club volleyball teams. How courageous is this? But doing this exercise can be powerful in helping anyone understand what things cost, especially now that we live in an era where everything just gets charged with a click, a tap, or a swipe. There is something truly memorable about holding something tangible like a $1 bill and giving it away to someone else. Man, you can actually feel that transaction. Download the Dollar Exercise and other resources at greatgame.com/gigtools.